Hey folks, how you doing? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Fort Worth, Texas. So I'll do a quick update video. I am in Texas for 4 days, 5 days this week. And I will be speaking in New York, up in New York next Sunday, and then in a youth conference, youth retreat in Pennsylvania for 3 or 4 days next week. So all is good. If you hear a lot of noise behind me, there's a big water fountain behind me. So that's what's going on there. But I am out here in the 110 degrees of Fort Worth and thought I'd do a quick video. So hey, in a moment, I want to share just an encounter I had years ago with an Orthodox priest that really changed my life. But a couple of keeping things first. Firstly, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button down there if you're willing to. And YouTube will let you know about upcoming videos. Check out the links below, including my ministry school. I have a new course on teaching and preaching. That's better. So avail yourself of those. Look at those links below. Yeah, so, you know, I was actually thinking this because I'll be speaking on this in New York this coming weekend. But years ago, I had an encounter with an Orthodox priest that really, it always stayed with me and changed me. Back in about 1986 or 7, I was doing a 3-week revival in a place in the UK called Yorkshire. I even forget the name of the town now, but in a little Pentecostal church there with a friend of mine, Elijah. We were there for about 3 weeks, just every single night, preaching the gospel in this little church. And, you know, one day, I don't know what it was, but we decided to drive out somewhere and go for a walk in some country town. And at the time, you know, at the time, everywhere I went, I had two things with me. I had a Bible with me and had a book by T.L. Osborne, Tommy Lee Osborne, called Healing the Sick. Really great book, written in the 1950s. Still one of my favorite books today. And I would kind of go everywhere with these two books. You know, back in the 80s, at least for me growing up, it was really hard to get good faith-building material. You know, I'm here at the Southwest Believers Convention, and it's great to just be bathed in faith teaching all week. But at the time, especially in England, it was really hard to get any, there were hardly any churches teaching the fullness of the Bible in that way. I remember the time where I lived in Cheshire, I was really blessed because there was a little, probably the biggest distributor in the UK. I think it was called Faith Builders, and they would import books from Kenneth Hagin and people like that, Charles Capps. And I lived about an hour from this place, and this place wasn't really a bookstore, but because I knew the owner, they'd let me come into the back, like a little shed they had in the backyard, the back garden, and buy books directly from them. And anyway, so I'm traveling everywhere with my Bible and this T.L. Osborne book. And one afternoon when I'm in Yorkshire, we go for a walk somewhere, and I see this little tiny stone ancient country church. And being a sucker for church and the things of God, I decide I'll take a look inside this church, and I walk in, and the place is dark and dank and candles lit and icons all over the place. And I'm about to go like, ooh, you know, this is so religious. Get me out. Religious spirits, get me out of here. And suddenly this monk stands up and comes and says hello to me. And he looks exactly like a monk out of Robin Hood, you know, Friar Tuck monk, you know, big plump guy with a monk's gown, with the habit, you know, with the hood on, and a shaved circle on his head. It's just perfect image of a monk. And the monk comes and says hello, and he's an American. You know, we hadn't met many Americans at the time. They're a strange breed. And we end up talking to this monk, and I've got all of my Protestant, you know, white evangelical defenses up, like, oh my God, you're an Orthodox, and you're not a real Christian like I am, and all these kind of things. And then this monk says to me, what have you got in your hand? And I say, that's a Bible. And he says, I know that's a Bible. What's the other book? And I open my Christ the Healer, which, you know, sorry, no, Jesus the Healer by T.L. Osborne. No, Healing the Sick, it's called, by T.L. Osborne. I open this book and show him. And at the time, it's about 3 years old. I've got notes everywhere. And this guy just starts laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And I'm really offended. I'm, you know, defending T.L. Osborne, my hero. And this guy just starts laughing and laughing. In the end, we say, what are you laughing at? And he reaches out on the inside of his monk habit, and he pulls out a Bible, and he pulls out a book, dog-eared book, published in the 50s. And then he shows me the title. It's called Healing the Sick and Casting Out Devils by T.L. Osborne. And it's the same book. And he says to me, he says originally when T.L. Osmond published this, it was called Healing the Sick and Casting Out Devils. I think in the 1980s, Harrison House thought Casting Out Devils was a little, might not help the sales, so they dropped that off the title. But it's the same book. And this monk said, everywhere I go, I carry this book, my Bible, and Healing the Sick and Casting Out Devils. And suddenly I'm just like, oh my God. And I talk with this guy, we're hugging each other and we're sharing about, he's a born again, spirit-filled bishop in the Orthodox Church. And, you know, he speaks in tongues and T.L. Osborne's one of his heroes. And it's, and I am having this, I'm about 17 at the time, this kind of brain freezing of going like, what are you doing in this denomination? What are you, all these icons on the wall, don't you know they're sinful? And, you know, this guy was so amazing. It's funny, I think the next night he came to my meeting and, you know, was just cheering my friend and I on as we're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and faith and healing and these things. But I'll never forget going for a walk with this monk after we met. And he's, you know, the guy was from California. He was probably about 65 at the time and I'm 17. I tried to find him afterwards. He might have been an angel, I hasten to add. But, you know, we went for a walk for about an hour. I'll never forget him just having his hand on my shoulder. And I'm asking him, why the icons? Why it's sinful? And he's kind of saying, no, it's not. And he gave me this whole teaching about the image of God. You know, in the next few days, I want to try and share some of this with you. He pulled a little coin out of his pocket and he started quoting the scripture about, you know, when the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, should we pay taxes or not? Jesus' answer was, whose image? And he said to me, the word image is the word icon. Whose icon, whose image is on the coin? And what, in effect, what he began teaching me was the coin belonged to Caesar because the image of Caesar was on the coin. We belong to God because we were created in God's image, in God's likeness. And I'll never forget this message. For about an hour, the guy took me through a tour of the whole Bible using the word image. In the beginning, you know, God created in the heaven and earth. God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. You know, every Christian knows Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. The next verse says, for whom he foreknew, did he predestine that we would be conformed to the image of his son? Everything working around you, that verse doesn't say God sends the bad stuff. That verse sends God wants to send the good stuff, but God will even use the bad stuff. God will use everything to conform you to his image. The Apostle Paul talked about that Christ might be revealed in me. And God wants to, what does he want to do? He doesn't want to, as Paul says in Romans 12:2, he doesn't want us to be conformed to the image of the world. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Jesus came, and in effect, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus comes to the world, and Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, our mission is to be, actually, not to show the world the Father, to show the world the Son. Our mission is to get to the place where we can say to the world, when you've seen us, you've seen Jesus, because we're the image bearers of Christ. We've been recreated in his image and his likeness. And Holy Spirit is working that out in our soul and even in our body, I hope. So I want to share some more thoughts on what this priest shared with me many, many years ago that have stayed with me. I'll be preaching on it in New York this weekend. If you want to get the whole message, check out my itinerary and join us live there. But so coming to you live-ish from Fort Worth, it's really hot out here and I've got a jacket on. So the reason I have a jacket on is I'm about to go into a air-conditioned stadium, like 12,000 feet of stadium, where it's about 25 degrees with the air conditioning. So that's why. Have a great day, guys. Drop me a line, share this video, and check out those links below. See you soon. Bye for now.